String 12. Didact. We did not get very far in either case, in fleeing the twin bow made up of star roads, or in understanding what my wife was saying 10,000 light years away, in orbit around de Tyrene. Catalog's connection with the juridical network had broken off before the holographic data could be completely assembled. Catalog did its best to interpret what he could of my wife's interrupted testimony. After she put you in a cryptum and stored the cryptum on de Tyrene, she commissioned a special ship, assembled a crew, and made a visit to Path Kethona. This was about 950 years ago. Why? To trace the origin of the Flood. And what did she find? All I can assemble from incomplete strings of data is that she found a lost settlement of Forerunners, met an old woman, was bitten, began to understand their ancient language, and visited a valley between giant stone walls covered with crawling mosses. That's it? I can hypothesize a little more based on the patterns, but am not allowed to do so. The testimony is faulty at best. I violate my vows by telling you this much. Outside the ship, the huge double bow structures parted and slid around us, like a pair of long, curved walls. The walls then fanned out into two parabolic dishes, with a huge dark circle at the center. The dark circle glowed brightly around its edge.
Do you know what that is?
Catalog asked.
Not a clue, I said.
Is it interested in us or just making a show?
The star roads had become extremely malleable. Between these parabolic dishes, three medium-sized Forerunner ships, all Dreadnought class, veered onto intersecting courses that would bring them upon us in just a few minutes.
Is everyone secure below? I asked the ship.
As secure as possible,
the ship responded in its broken voice. We're about to be boarded, I said. What can you do to put off the inevitable? And as soon as we are captured, destroy yourself.
Some capabilities remain, the ship said. Not many. If exercised, they will delay capture by a few minutes at most. The voice seemed to acquire strength and tone. That will be sufficient for a directed explosion of our drives to knock the stasis bubbles in my hold outward through the gap between those objects, along with sufficiently large scraps to serve as camouflage. But you must be gone before that happens.
They've taken an interest in us, I said, whoever they may be. I think we'll be removed soon.
How will they remove us? Catalog asked.
No answer was possible.
Just asking to pass the time, it added. The illuminated edge of the giant black circle grew long, brilliant threads.
The old ship made its preparations. Those threads reached out, enclosed the ship, and drew us into the black center. Catalog seemed to fade. I hoped this was a trick of my eyes. It was not. On the Hulk's bridge, light became slow, formed concentric gelid waves, turned gray, then stopped, died. I saw nothing. I felt myself twist in a dizzying way, and then I occupied a different space. No other way to describe it. Behind me, below me, outside, through a rapidly shrinking orifice, I heard a sharp popping sound. I think that was the ship, the old Hulk, completing its final mission. Light sped up. I waved my arms as if to clear smoke, and the space grew brighter, gray turning to featureless white. Catalog was not visible. I looked at my hands, my arms, touched my face. I seemed to be alive, suspended in the whiteness. I was not in the least happy about this. I have always loathed being captured. Three times in my long life, absolutely hated it every single time. A voice came to me that I recognized immediately, despite the passage of over 10,000 years. An old acquaintance, you might say. Unmistakable. I had last heard it while tapping into the time lock on Charim Hakor. The Primordial had no need to use any particular language. It knew me well. It simply vibrated parts of my brain, conveying its cordial message directly.
Didact, do you have a moment? Just a moment. That's all it will take.
Ur-Didact deposition paused. Subject refuses to continue. Catalog. You are claiming to have had a second conversation with the Primordial. Ur-Didact.
It wasn't a conversation. More like a malediction. This time the Primordial was in complete control. I assume the Iso-Didact has told Catalog what happened to me on Charim Hakor.
Catalog. Is there more to the story?
Ur-Didact. The librarian has no doubt changed his thinking. She can be persuasive.
Catalog. The Iso-Didact tells us that the Primordial claimed to be the last of its kind. It seemed to believe that Forerunners were the reason why all of its kind, but for itself, had perished. And it seemed to bear Forerunners' ill will. Ur-Didact.
The whole concept of will, good or ill, is irrelevant when speaking of such beings.
Catalog. Here is where we have difficulties with your story. In his deposition, the born Stellar Didact describes how he killed the Primordial on the Rogue Halo. He placed it in an accelerating chronological field and forced it through millions of years. In the process, it disintegrated to dust. He was acting on your behalf, under the influence of your imprinted instinct and emotions. So it was not the last? Ur-Didact.
This being was not the Primordial I encountered on Charim Hakor, but something else entirely, though it retained the Primordial's motives and thoughts and memories. It was a grave mind.
The grave mind, more accurately. It was the Primordial's final act of revenge.
Catalog. Are you convinced that the Primordial was a precursor? Ur-Didact.
That's what it claimed.
Catalog. And during your second interview? Ur-Didact.
Not an interview. A deep, burning brand. An upwelling of hidden genetic contents. So many things I would never have imagined. Things I cannot repeat, lest I lose what remains of my sanity. My warrior soul.
Catalog. Can you convey some of that to the Juridicals? Ur-Didact.
Telling would punish me more than anything you can do.
Catalog. Was your experience similar to the process that perverted mendicant bias? Ur-Didact.
I wouldn't know. I feel a coldness in my head. You're doing something. What is that?
Catalog. Calming encouragement. If necessary, we can compel testimony, but we cannot alter its contents. The testimonies are not yet clear on key points. You may hold the key to our final judgment. Ur-Didact.
You're trying to make me feel at peace with all that happened. Like I'm somebody else, standing outside, watching, ripping open a scab. I can't relive what the Primordial did to me. Stop now!
Catalog. There is no real danger. Let's continue. Ur-Didact testimony resumes, under compulsion.
I don't remember much about what happened immediately after we were removed from the Hulk. I presume the old ship did its duty and blew up. I don't know what I should tell you next. This calmness distorts me. I should not be calm. But I must explain. We, Catalog and I, were on a Forerunner ship. That much I could see. A powerfully armed, very advanced version of a class of swift attack vessel. Not a dreadnought. Something like a Harrier. We were held in a distorting grappler unlike any I've experienced. Light took on a sapped grayish hue, turned a corner right near my eyes. Arrived late and unhappy. Whenever I pressed against the grappler, the force turned painfully back on me, leaving a numbness in all my muscles. I learned quickly not to move. Even through the grappler, I could see that monitors were everywhere, jostling in the corridors, packing the lifts, control, and fire centers. But they were not of a sort I'd seen before. They were new, small, extremely specialized. Some guided pallets bearing victims of the flood,
all forerunners in the late stages of transformation. Shall I describe what that looks like?
No. You already know.
The infected forerunners. They knew me. Recognized me. Some writhed as I was conveyed past them, as if to break free of their disease, their pallets, their shackles. They knew better than I why they were allowed to remain. Their presence, along with the influx of new monitors, would override the secure command and control systems. Forerunners forced to betray their own kind, while reduced to flaccid monstrosities, sprouting hideous growths, being digested by the flood, soon fit only for absorption in a grave mind. No doubt they were being used thus on all the ships we had seen, and many more. Impossible to imagine, and yet I had. I had anticipated what I was now seeing. How, you ask? I can't lie. Not in this state. But how could I have foreseen the extent of this treachery? And if I had foreseen it almost as soon as I found myself in the burn, how could I not have foreseen it centuries before? The words of the primordial. The more than implied threat. The alteration in behavior of the Flood in the later stages of the human wars, as if somehow a disease, a hideous perversion of life, could play favorites and turn away from one set of victims to focus on forerunners. Vengeance. I had been blinded by victory, by the awful, energizing, deceiving drug of total triumph. I had wrongly surmised back on Charim Hakor that the primordial was secure, that nothing could open the time lock and release it. And I had known beyond any shadow of doubt that humans were on the verge of annihilation. Forthencho, Lord of Admirals and all his aides and commanders. We had watched their torment, my wife and I. Only the threat of the Flood itself could have forced me back from utterly extirpating humanity. And that was how the Flood had saved humanity from our wrath. By first infecting, and then withdrawing, and so implying humans knew of a way to combat or avoid the disease. An astonishing strategic feint, one I cannot help but admire. Favored by the Flood. Saving the humans, as many as possible. That was what my wife had desired all along. Only now do I recognize her actions for what they truly were. There can be no darker moment than this. No darker revelation of betrayal. What could I have done, even had I not been exiled into my cryptum for 1,000 years? Held motionless by the grapplers, I raged silently, a darkly burning torch carried like a trophy up the nerve centers of this wretched haunted ship. Catalog said and did nothing. It had rolled its carapace smooth, withdrawn its sensors, a rational enough response. If it could be infected by the Flood, then its function as a conduit to the juridicals might be inverted. It could be compelled to open a direct channel to the very heart of Forerunner polity. At the very least, it could then pass along an extremely demoralizing message.
What we were seeing.
Perhaps already it was disconnecting its carapace, committing itself to suffocation, an honorable death, a dutiful admission of failure. But that would not be allowed. Catalog was too valuable. Moisture condensed in clouds around it. Its grappler had chilled it swiftly and uniformly to within a fraction of a degree above zero, or to zero itself, where its memory and machinery could do nothing but superconduct through an endless cycle of memories and sensations. Never-ending, never-completed depositions. Colliding, confused testimonies. From the bridge, our presence having been made known, the grapplers and our attendant monitors now took us to the true nerve center of the ship, deep into moist darkness. Chill, and yet stale, electric and yet numbing, ancient, but too real, too present. Again, my grappler seemed to bend light around a corner, and around that corner, coming slowly into view, were large, writhing tentacles. An awful, awesome mashup of forerunners and other creatures gathered from across the Ecumene, more confused and even more disgusting if that was possible, in its awkward, slopping bulk and nightmarish organization, somehow physically younger, but conveying all the ancient knowledge and power of the primordial. This was new. This was still very, very old. I can't go any deeper. I can't tell you more. The questions you ask float. My answers float beside them. I feel nothing, care for nothing. But I did warn you. Be careful. You do not want to become like me. Stop this. Stop the pain.